Well, good morning. We want to welcome all of you. We're so glad that you're with us here on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. And we're glad that you've taken time out of your busy schedules to be with us in worship today and take time to enter into God's presence and experience God's grace and love in a special way. And we also want to welcome all of those that are going to be listening online later on. And we want to hope that you are blessed by our service today also. A little bit later on, we're going to be continuing our series on living in the goodness of God. And today I'm going to be talking about an issue that I think is really important if we're going to be able to live in the goodness of God, really live and enjoy God's goodness. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. So as we begin our service, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there this morning for our call to worship. God blesses us with gifts of goodness.
With relationships that bring joy and gratitude.
God blesses us with talents and opportunities to serve.
All we need for good deeds.
God protects us in times of danger. So we gather to offer thanksgiving to the Lord our God.
Praise be to God for all good things, now and always.
Well, let's join together there, hymn number 430. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus this morning, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. We're going to be singing the three verses this morning. His blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me.
Singing and the old redemption.
opening prayer this morning. God of all creation, we are struck by the beauty of autumn, leaves in bright colors, birds flying south in formation, fields ripe with produce. As we gather this day, renew our sense of thanksgiving for your goodness to us. And in Christ Jesus, who teaches us how to walk wisely on the earth you made. For all your good gifts, we honor you with thanks and praise, now and always. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. We're going to sing an old song. You may know this, maybe in your teen years. I think since my dad was and mom were in the Gideons for years, when I was growing up, I went with them to the state Gideon convention, and they would go to their business meetings and all of that, and then I would go to be with all the teenagers, and we often would sing this one. And it's an old African spiritual. The reason we're singing it is because I had a couple people request that we sing it. And Kumbaya, my Lord. And the word Kumbaya means come here. Come here. And it's a call for God to intervene and help in our lives. So we'll sing it forth there. I think there's four verses that we're going to be singing through there. So... come on down this morning. We're going to definitely have to find different music because that was in a high key. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Now, I can't talk as loud because I'm bringing my phone up here, and my phone is what I'm using to record the service. But the reason I brought this is because I want to show you. Come on. You can come down. Are you going to go help her? Go ahead. That's fine. You want to come down? I was going to show you some pictures. Hopefully I can pull them up okay. There you go. You can stay with us. Okay, you might have to leave. There you go. Uh-oh, you gonna go back to mom? Okay, there you go. It's like no manhandling here, no manhandling. Now, I want to show you some pictures. These are famous paintings. Do you like to paint?
Yeah.
All right. Do you like to paint with watercolors?
Yeah,
I think when I was younger, like you, I liked to paint with watercolors too. Also, when I was a kid, I don't know if they, I think they still have them. They were called spirographs. Do you remember, do you ever see those? Where you set this thing down on a piece of paper and there's this little circle and you stick your pen in a little hole and you go around with the circle and it makes all these cool, I think, isn't it called spirograph? Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, my grandma has some.
Oh, grandma's got them, okay. Yes, yes. But I want to show you, so the picture on the left is the original painting, and then the picture on the right is a picture of kids. So that's why I picked them out this morning. Okay, so look at that. This is a picture. This is called the girl with the pearl earring. It's kind of hard, but you can see it right there. See that little white little dot there?
Yeah.
She's got a pearl earring on. And then here's a picture of a girl, a young little girl, probably not much older than you guys, that dressed up and they took a picture of her to match the painting. Okay, let me see if I can find another one here. Oh, here, I know what I want. Okay, here we go. This one I want to show you, if I can get it to come up. Okay, and you, have you ever, yes, she knew what it was. It's the Mona Lisa. That one's by Da Vinci, famous painting. And then look at the girl on the right there. She's pretty young right there. She may be close to some of you guys' age. Do you know that the pictures of the kids, that's probably maybe something that they did for a school project, or maybe it was something that they did with their family. And that's just a picture. And paintings are just pictures too. But do you know what makes a painting valuable? What do you think makes a painting valuable? Hmm.
Because they published
it. If what?
If they published it.
Okay, well, if it gets published and promoted, yes, that could be true, yeah. What else do you think? What makes a painting famous? What do you think what makes a painting famous? Hmm. Are your pictures that you paint and draw, are they famous?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. She said yes. I like that. I like that answer. Yes, that's a good answer, because I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. Do you know what makes a painting famous?
Yeah.
The artist. So we could have a bunch of paintings up here on the wall and try to sell them. But guess what? If there's a Da Vinci painting, people might pay $1 million for it. Or if there's a Picasso painting, they might pay millions of dollars for it. Because it's the artist that makes the painting worth a lot. Guess what? In our scripture today, oh, I forgot to transfer it over. Sorry. Let me bring that back up here. Look what it says there. We are God's masterpiece. Do you know that you are God's famous painting? And God made you with the help of mom and dad just the way you are. You are a masterpiece. Guess what? You're worth $1 million. You are, maybe more. Because God made each one of us special. So there's nobody else like you. Nobody else on this earth, the planet Earth. There's nobody else like you. You're unique. You are a wonder. You are special. You are God's very own. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that when we live each day, we can know that God loves us and that God has good things for us, and we can be confident and proud that we are the way we are. And we are just the way God wanted us to be. And God's going to use us in our lives as we grow up and get older for whatever God has in mind. You might want to be a dentist or a veterinarian or a farmer or a teacher or whatever it may be that you might want to do one day, but you will do that because you're special, because you're made by God. You are God's masterpiece, and you are valuable because God made you just the way you are, okay? All right, you can go on down today, and today you're going with Miss Kathy downstairs. You gonna go with the rest of them? There they go. All right. Well, as we go to our time of prayer this morning, we want to take the opportunity to allow you to share your joys and concerns as we go to prayer today. So someone maybe today would like to share something. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
What's the last name again?
Barbie.
Barbie?
Yeah, Barbie. Don remembered the pictures at the football games.
Okay. I don't think I realized that. So we want to remember the Barbie family.
The family of Cindy Tilton. Cindy passed away.
Hilton?
She used to have a beauty shop in Wayne.
So we want to remember the Tilton family with the loss of that loved one. Someone else. Yes.
From the prayer group, we have a bunch. Dave Moore had a stroke. He was a teacher at some time, I think. And his wife has had all kinds of heart problems and has to have them done. And then Brock Barnes, Ellen and Jack's son, he's going through the same symptoms he had before, but they can't.
What's the first name?
Brock.
Oh, Brock. Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And Dan Ward, he has cancer of the lung. And Eddie Stouts.
Eddie?
Has stomach issues that he's in the hospital and he needs surgery, but they're trying to find a surgeon that can do what
he needs.
Okay.
And Frank Braddock.
Frank.
They both have COVID. And then our joy was my grandson and his new wife were there from North Dakota. They're headed back this morning because he's in the Air Force and they're going to move him to Utah.
Ah.
So yeah, Lynn has to come today.
She said they both, Frank and who? Who's Frank and who else had the COVID?
Linda,
thank you. Yeah, I don't, when I usually, so I want last names for funerals or passing away and first names for prayer things. So that makes it easy because I usually don't say last names, but wow, lots of them. Dave with a stroke, Ann with heart trouble, Brock with health issues, they don't know what's going on there. Dan with lung cancer, Eddie with weakness and health problems, and then Frank and Linda with COVID. So lots of them there. Someone else this morning. Yeah, Betty. Okay, so we want to continue praying for Mike. I talked to him this week, and he seemed in pretty good spirits after what he's kind of been battling, and so we want to continue praying for him. I think I saw a couple other hands. Yeah.
Unspoken
this morning. Others this morning. Yeah.
Cindy Maggard, she has 16 weeks of chemo, and the cancer is still there, and
the
still radiation.
Did she say Cindy?
Cindy, yeah.
Okay. So we want to, and any of these that you want on our monthly list, you know, especially some of those that's more long term, fill out a slip and turn it in to me, or, yeah. Unspoken. Any others? Yeah. Okay. So we want to remember Julie and Matt and some of the family there, Ilifitz family, that have COVID. Okay. So any others this morning? Yeah. Watkins family?
It's Cook.
Cook,
their
okay.
Last name's Cook.
Thank you. Did you say Branson family?
Branson. She was a T, Carol T.
I still don't know what she said.
Branson.
Oh, S-O-M, okay. All right, yeah. So we want to remember the Branson family then and the Watkins Cook family, both with the loss of those loved ones. Someone else.
Yeah. Our grandson, Colt, who's 11 years old, he has COVID.
Colt, is that right?
Colt.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else then? Lots of, yes.
Thank you for your prayers.
Is it the swallowing test thing again? Okay. So we want to remember Bonnie in our prayers this morning. We want to continue praying for Richard as he's recovering. I talked to, yes, thank you, Karen, this week. And she said he's coming along, but that type of surgery takes a while to heal. I know because my brother went through the same thing. And so we want to continue praying for Richard. And I'm assuming we need to continue praying for Georgia as she's still recovering or kind of staying away somewhat. And for Betty, yes. And she's on their list. We want to continue praying for Betty. I saw Betty this week. She's doing pretty good, but she still has moments. But she's done with all of her radiation treatments. And I think in December, I didn't realize this. I know with chemo, within a week or two, they're already scanning you again. But with radiation, they wait a month or so because they say the radiation continues to work for that period of time. So in December, she's going to be getting a scan again in her of her brain and of that area in her of her kidney and so forth. So any others then? Oh, wow. Yeah, we want to continue praying for Bruce, for strength, and also pray for wisdom and guidance for the kids as they have to make some decisions about some things that Bruce might be going in. Well, it looks like he's going into assisted living for further rehab for at least 2 weeks, maybe more. So we'll know more later on.
Joe, Carol turned 70 today.
Hey! He looks young. He looks young. Wow. Wow.
Just to clarify, Cindy told Debbie, that is Debbie Rose's sister.
Yes. You know what? I saw that on Facebook, some people, and I didn't fully make all the connections. Okay. Yeah, so lots of things, and we need to get praying here before the service runs out. Yes, lots. My page is completely full, so definitely need your help. Oh, Dennis Linda's a friend, I'm sorry about that. Dennis, it's on the list there. We need to be praying for him, who has battling cancer and definitely needs our prayers this morning. So lots of different needs there. Definitely need your help on these kind of Sundays when there's lots of them for you to mention to God some of those names that pop into your mind, and then I'll come and close us out. We pause today. There are so many that have been mentioned, Lord, and we're thankful that we can come before you and lift up in prayer, in intercession, those that have come before us, those names that have been brought to our minds today. We just lift them up to you, Lord. We're going to stand in the gap today and pray and lift them up and ask for you to work in the lives of people that need healing touches, those that need grace and comfort and peace today, those that need grace in situations that we don't know about. So, Lord, we just lift up Dennis and Bonnie and Colt. We lift up Dave and Ann and Brock. We lift up Dan, Eddie, Frank, and Linda. We lift up Mike and Cindy and Julie and Matt. We lift up Richard today and Bruce. And God, we just pray for your healing touch for each one of these that's been mentioned. Your grace, your hand of working in their lives today. We're thankful for the doctors and the nurses and the medicine and all that goes with these treatments and healings, but we just continue to ask for your touch today. Lord, we lift up those that need your grace and comfort for the Barbie family, Tilton family today, the Branson Watkins family today. Lord, we just pray, and the Cook family, Lord, each one of these that's been mentioned, Lord, we ask for your comfort and peace and grace for all of them today. And Lord, we pray for wisdom for Jody and her siblings as they have to make decisions about things going here into the future. Lord, we lift up these unspoken needs, Lord, asking for your touch. We continue to lift up our first responders, our medical staff and personnel, and all those that are working on the front lines there in different places here across our state and around the world, Lord. We continue to lift up our shut-ins, Lord, and God, we just thank you for all of these things. And Lord, we just give you thanks for that and commit those people into your hands that you will work in those situations as only you can do. And thank you for all of that. Continue to bless our service, Lord, as we break the bread of your word, Lord. May you encourage us and speak to our hearts and lead us forth that we might be a blessing, that we might live every day in your goodness and enjoy that blessing and extend that to others that you called us to be a blessing to. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thy ear to us and grant us thy peace. Well, this morning we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, thank you so much for your faithfulness. It's through our giving that God continues to use this community of faith to be a blessing, not only here in our own congregation, but throughout our community and around the world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Join together there for our prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we bring our offering with thanks for all the goodness we enjoy in Christ and in creation. Bless these gifts and use them for your glory. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from our two kind of passages that we've been looking at every week, and then I have a new one that we're going to look at here in just a second. So Psalm 31:19, how great is the goodness that you've reserved for those who honor you, that you commit to those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. And then 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possession. You have become this people so that you may show others the goodness of God, the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then a passage that kind of goes right along with the 1 Peter one is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you are saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is God's gift, not a reward for work done. There's nothing for anyone to boast of. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the life of good deeds which God designed for us. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, once, while affectionately joking with our three-year-old daughter, Maria, the grandmother asked, "Where did we get such a nice girl like you?" She replied, "Jesus gave me to you." I persisted, "Well, why did he give you to us and not to somebody else?" And the little girl thought for a moment, and then she blurted out, "Because my clothes are here." It's one of those, I have several pages of those ones about the things that little kids say, and that's one of those. I want to talk to you this morning about, as we continue in our series of living in the goodness of God, and this is part 3 in the series, I want to talk to you this morning about how all of this springs from the handiwork of God, or God's handiwork. So when I was in 7th grade, art class was required at Anna. Yes, I went to Anna High School. The first part of the year focused on art history, where we learned about famous artists and their most famous works, their masterpieces, if you will. Well, taking that in 7th grade and being a 7th grade boy, I only knew a couple of them, and the rest were oblivious to me. In other words, I probably cared less when I think back about that. But only a few of them stuck out to me. Now, think about masterpieces for a moment. Masterpieces can be almost anything. They can come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and categories. They can be paintings. They can be sculptures. They can be woodwork. It can be music. It can be poems. I mean, artistic areas are very broad if you know much about that. In our reading today from Ephesians chapter 2, I think probably we are all very familiar with the one verse there. You are saved by grace through faith. And that may be one of the most familiar Bible verses. But Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 is one of the most important verses in the Bible for living in the goodness of God. And the reason why is because it reminds us of several things that I want to look at this morning. And these are going to be obvious to you as we start off because of what I talked to the kids about. First of all, we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. Now, it's interesting that the way Paul says this, it's in the singular. We would usually think, and as I was talking to the kids, telling them about each one of them, but Paul has this tendency to look at all of us as a whole, as a part of the church, and being in Christ Jesus. And that word there that he uses literally means that we are God's handiwork, handcrafted. My grandpa, besides farming, was a carpenter. And him and my dad and my one brother can build and fix everything. I don't know what happened to me, but I can't build and fix anything. Think about that. You know, there are people that can just build things. I see kids when I sub at the high school for ag class or for Mr. Black in, we used to call it industrial arts. I think they call it woodworking or shop or something like that. Some of the kids are, they don't like book work at all, but man, they can do things with their hands and things that they can build. And the Greek word that's used here refers to the work of an artist. meaning God carefully crafted us. And it reminds me that, as I was sharing with the kids, we are not ordinary. We are one of a kind. Now, why do I share that with you this morning? Why do I think this is so important? Because as a pastor, in talking and dealing with people through the years, people that have been through horrible situations in their lives, places where they grew up, faced abuse and different things, the way we look at ourselves has a lot to do with how we live out our faith and even enjoy our faith as Christians. And the reason I want to emphasize this morning is because the way we see ourselves is the way we express ourselves. And the way we express ourselves says a lot about whether we will do the things that God has called us to do and be the people that God wants us to be. So we are not ordinary. We are one of a kind. And as we all know this, nobody in this world has fingerprints like you. You are unique. There will never be another you. Even though once in a while that you heard that said, and I don't know if that's true or not, but they've always said there's one person on this planet that looks a lot like you. That may be true, I don't know. But here's what I want us to see. If we're going to live in the goodness of God, we must see ourselves as unique, as original, as God's very own work of art. Someone once said, and I probably said this as a pastor many times, very often we are our own worst enemy. The thoughts we battle, the times that we put ourselves down, I wish I didn't look like this, I wish I was smarter, I wish I was this, I wish I was that, you know, all of these things. But here's the thing. Paul says we are created in Christ Jesus. It's the same root word that's used in Genesis in the Greek version that God created the universe. And it is the same root word where in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that we are part of new creation when we are in Christ Jesus. Do you get the picture? We are part of what God is making and God continues to make, and God, how God is wanting to make new and change our world, a world that sometimes can be very self-centered and violent and everything else, but God is wanting to change that. So don't go around wishing you were somebody else. Now, yes, I know that we are not where we should be as human beings sometimes. That we all sin, that we all mess up, that we all have faults. You've heard me say that before. But sometimes we beat ourselves up so bad that we cannot be transformed like God wants to transform us. And so God is working on us. We are painted by the most wonderful artist in the world, and that is God. And when God gets done with us, God steps back and says, "Good. What a masterpiece." And that's what I want you to see this morning, because that's the way we enjoy what God has for us and live out with confidence and everything else and giftedness and everything that God has for our lives. We are God's masterpiece. And then it goes on there to say, we are created for good works. Now, I've already touched on this a little bit last week, but Paul has some things to say here. And the first one is God prepared us in advance for these good deeds, these good works. It was always part of God's plan for God's people to live a life full of good deeds. Good deeds, as Paul says and as James says in the New Testament, are an expression of our faith. It shows that we are alive in our faith, so to speak. Because James says, hey, if you say you got faith, but you don't have any deeds, your faith is dead. So that's why I said that when we're out there and we're making a difference and being a blessing into people's lives, sometimes that just happens through the vocations that God has called us into. and how we work out. And here's the things. These good deeds are not only an expression of our faith, but they demonstrate to the world that we are followers of Christ and we serve a good God. So it always makes me ask myself, what kind of picture do I present to others? I know at times I don't always present a good picture to others. I've been there. I've gone through it. I've experienced it. But if we are going to make a difference in our world, we need to realize that God has called us to do this. And if we're going to live in the goodness of God, then we must know good deeds are a part of our journey of faith. Paul says there that we live in those things that God wanted for us, those good things. Or the Greek word there means to walk. And walk in the New Testament often means to do or live. It's an activity. It involves discipleship. Because discipleship is not coming and just sitting. Discipleship is action. It's walking out our faith. And it highlights our journey of good deeds. Each one of us must journey, though, at our own pace. Because each of us moves differently. Have you ever noticed how we have different strides? Sometimes I'll say, Jody, come on, let's go for a walk. And sometimes Jody doesn't always want to go with me because my stride is different than hers. Sometimes without even thinking, I'll be walking, and the next thing I know, I'm way ahead of her. And when Chase is with me, we even walk faster. Because when you're young and ambitious, you have a quick stride. But as we become more mature, our stride becomes more fixed and patient as we go. We're not in such a hurry. Like sometimes when I get behind people driving and I'm in a hurry and they're driving real slow. Why is that? You know, I was thinking about that this week about where our spiritual faith. And when I was in my teenage years and I first felt like God was calling me to ministry, I was like gung-ho. And I wanted to be involved and do whatever I could in church and do everything and help out and this and that. And I want to get involved. And then as I got a little older, I started realizing I needed to do things where I was gifted and where I felt a passion for. Because if you're doing everything, guess what happens? You start to burn out. But I started to do those things where I was gifted. I had to learn to be the pastor that I was gifted to be, not the pastor everybody was else telling to tell me to be. Because if you're a pastor everybody else wants you to be, sometimes you can get burned out. And you got to be the pastor where God has gifted you. And the same is true in whatever career and thing you're involved in. Whatever it may be, a teacher, a farmer. I mean, we could go on, a worker, whatever that may be. And our work of deeds goes together with who God made us to be. That's my point. So, while in seventh grade art, as we went through the slides of the various paintings and matched them with the artists, one thing dawned on me. You already know the answer because I already shared it with the kids. It doesn't matter if I liked the painting or not. What mattered is who painted the piece. That's what made it valuable. And the painting gets its value from its creator. And in the same way, our value doesn't come because of what we look like or what we do for a living or who we know. Our value comes from the fact that God Almighty is our painter. Now don't criticize what God has painted. Accept yourself. You're not an accident. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made for the good works in Christ Jesus. We are God's handiwork. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together this morning, and we are going to, you can say hi to a couple people, and then we are going to go ahead and get ready to close out and sing our chorus there this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I cannot find that. Remember I showed you that sheet? I can't find it now. I don't know if I left it with you or not. Yes. It might have been in a different key there. Yeah. You can go ahead and start playing. If you're following along in the hymn book this morning, 544, you're going to be missing the second verse, because we only have the first verse, but you can glance up here and see the second verse there, because I added it in this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be together for our benediction. We have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Go forth and bring God's blessing and goodness with you wherever you go. Go in peace. Amen.